Freeze is under center. The snap, the spin, the fake handoff, drops back seven, throws a soft pass in the end zone. Backpedaling catch, touchdown. It's grabbed by Hill. That's it. That's the record. Drew Brees is thrown for more touchdown passes than any quarterback in professional football history. Drew Brees atop the list and perhaps never to be caught. 540. Unbelievable. History in the Superdome.
He's done that to a lot of people, a lot of defenses. I mean, I didn't realize it, but I looked up there one time. I saw he was 27 for 28 or something. Is that right?
He finished 29-30.
Yeah. I mean, so, I mean, when he gets like that, I mean, I don't know anybody that can stop him.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Spoken from one quarterback about another, Frank Reich and the Indianapolis Colts. They were the victims of Drew Brees and his near-perfect night on Monday Night Football. And in this wave of excitement about Brees and history in the Saints, the Colts were eliminated from the playoffs. Kevin Harlan with the call on the Westwood One Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. But we need an insider's perspective. So we're pleased to welcome John Hendricks, who covers the Saints for Sports Illustrated. And I'm jealous, John. I'm just going to tell you flat out. I would have loved to be there in person on Monday night. So you'll have to tell me, what was it like inside the Superdome on another historic occasion for Drew Brees?
Well, look, I mean, you know, Saints fans love their football team. And with Drew Brees, you know, again, they're just happy to share the moment again, right? The fact that this has happened several times over, you know, this tenure between Sean Payton and Drew Brees. You think, Dan Marino, single season record and passing yards was set there. You got Johnny Unitas' record that got broken. There was another one, you know, last year, obviously, with the Redskins game. So, look, it's a special moment. The crowd's into it, you know, for four quarters of football. It is just something absolutely insane to see, just at the atmosphere and the Superdome. It's just electric, playoff-like every single time.
I heard the announced attendance was 70,001, which I thought was kind of humorous.
Yeah.
But that's
I don't
a
know
lot
where
of people.
They found that one extra.
I don't know
where that one extra seat came from.
An extra person in Drew Brees' entourage. Of course, they showed over and over his wife and his kiddos and a bunch of other family members, which was really neat. Now, he had kind of downplayed before the game, obviously, because they're still fighting for a one seed or a two seed. They'd like to get a bye and home field advantage. But how much did he open up about the occasion once it was done?
Well, look, you know, he talked about it in his press conference and saying, look, because he actually got filmed by Reggie Bush, you know, 40, 45 minutes after practice, going through all these reps and just all these different simulations and stuff. And he kind of said the reason he does that is so he can kind of temper his emotions, because what's at stake in the game is like, well, what if we're still trailing? Mm. What if this is going on? And so the thing is, he's trying to go through and simulate those types of moments, too, in addition to just different things that happen throughout the course of the game, is just in anticipation, so he doesn't kind of let his guard down, which is just incredible, his work ethic off the field and on the field.
He's always so complimentary of that relationship with Sean Payton and how much the two of them have been able to build this Saints legacy together. What did he have to say about Coach Payton afterwards?
Well, you know, I don't know if you call it the sideline exchange, but, you know, Sean Payton had gone out and reached his hand out and tried to give him a handshake, and
yes.
Drew Brees came and hugged him. You know, I mean, that's just Drew Brees in a nutshell. He's like, I'm a hugger. And so, look, they've done this thing since 2006, and obviously there's a lot of love there for both of those guys. They're very well respective of each other, and, you know, I'd say they're great friends. You know, they're very thankful of each other and founding each other. You know, thankful to Mickey Loomis, their general manager, too. And it's just one of those things where you got Payton, a really good, you know, offensive play caller. Just, again, throughout the years, he's always been so, so good at it, right? And with Drew Brees, he's a quarterback that allows him to do a lot of these things. And they're in each other's heads. Payton's usually on the sideline saying, hey, Drew, I like this play. What do you think about this play? And, you know, it just really gives them an opportunity to maximize the Saints' offense, which has just really been red hot lately.
Side note that has nothing to do with tonight's game. What's your reaction when you hear the speculation that he might take a different job, like potentially the Dallas Cowboys, if it becomes open?
Man, I've been hearing that for years. Just like I've heard Drew Brees is going to retire for years and that his father time is going to catch up to him. So, look, I mean, it's noise, right? And at the end of it all, Sean Payton signed a contract extension with New Orleans. I think he's, you know, there was a rocky point there, right, is when the team went 7-9 for three straight seasons.
And, right.
He made some personnel decisions that kind of helped him and probably was the best thing that ever happened for him. And, you know, they've done a great job through the draft building. Jeff Ireland has been absolutely fantastic. Terry Fontenot, guys like that that work behind the scenes and just don't get a lot of credit. So, look, you know, it's always going to come up probably because, you know, that's kind of what everybody wants is Peyton going back to Dallas because he was there in Dallas and he's the guy for Jerry and all this stuff. But, you know, let's just be clear. He's not going anywhere. He loves New Orleans. New Orleans loves him. He's going to be here for a while.
Saints reporter John Hendricks with us from Sports Illustrated. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. The game that Drew Brees had, the 29 of 30, the 22 straight completions, the four touchdowns, the record, that obviously was the focal point on Monday night. However, Michael Thomas had yet another incredible game, 12 for 12, over 100 yards, also caught a touchdown, and he is closing in on some unique history. How would you describe the season that he has had so far?
Dominant. I mean, just no, you know, his Twitter handles can't guard Mike. And it's true. Just nobody has been able to just find a solution against him. And, you know, I just look at it plays and it's like, I just don't understand how he gets so wide open and over the middle of the field. But that's also a credit to him and his work ethic, because this is a guy drafted in the second round of the draft. And he's had a chip on his shoulder since day one, trying to prove that he's the best and that all these other people made mistakes. And he has a lot of work and professionalism to him, and he's just out to accomplish a job. And, you know, again, that Marvin Harrison reception record is definitely going to be in the back of his mind, mm-hmm. I think, a little bit. But, you know, he also made some NFL history tonight. He had his eighth game of 10 catches or more. He was tied for seventh coming in with Andre Johnson and Wes Welker, and now he's got the record. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible in today's NFL, and you think about the record Marvin Harrison set, you know, years ago, but crazy to get to this point that he's been so dominant over his first several years in New Orleans, and he got the fat contract extension, and he's playing up to it for sure.
Yeah, that part's impressive because there was a lot of talk about it before the season, and yet he did it the right way. The Saints rewarded him, and he is now paying them back for the fact that they have faith in him. It's really almost crazy to think about the fact that Drew missed, 6 weeks earlier in the season because the team is in a great flow right now. Teddy Bridgewater, the way the defense played, the special teams, it was all hands on deck. But how did you see the team grow and maybe even get better as a locker room and as a group through that process?
I think one of the best things I've seen is the fact that, you know, all these narratives build, right, that Sean Payton's only good because of Drew Brees, or Drew Brees is only good because of Sean Payton, or Michael Thomas is only good because of Drew Brees. And, you know, a lot of that went away, right? If Sean Payton had to change a few things, and Teddy Bridgewater comes in, he's 5-0. Michael Thomas is a huge part of the offense's success. You know, I think what I saw over the year, over the games that they had, is just the camaraderie and the fact that, you know, Cam Jordan was one of those guys that was vocal, said, look, we got to put a lot of this on the defense, DeMario Davis. The defense has got to be there. You know, the prowl, kill, eat mentality is what they talk about. And look, it's been evident, and they've been fantastic on the road aside that Rams loss in week two, and at home they've been pretty good too. But, you know, they've just been able to come out and just get crowds out of games and just really take over and take it to other teams. And they win in a lot of different ways, win without scoring a touchdown, win without giving up a touchdown, just crazy things that you just probably, you know, if you sat there and looked 5 years ago or 7 years ago when they had that horrendous defense that, you know, you would never have thought of with the Saints team.
Hmm. All right, John, before I let you go, still so much to be decided in the top-heavy NFC. The Saints now have the same record as three other teams in the conference, which is nutso. But they don't have the tiebreak against the Packers or the Niners, so they're still trying to get a bye in one of those top two seeds. How important is that to a team that's got a lot of playoff experience?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, I'll tell you right now, if the road to the playoffs and the Super Bowl goes through New Orleans, it's going to be tough for anybody that decides they come in there, right? And, you know, I'm looking at it and saying, obviously, they're going to play hard in these final two games, and there's no rest coming, I don't believe, because Sean Payton was adamant. You know, they're playing for 1, 2, or 3, and the worst that they can get is 3, but obviously the Falcons did them a solid the other day by beating the 49ers, and now it kind of opens things up a little bit more, and because they do have the tie break over the Seahawks. But, you know, when it's three teams tied, that tiebreaker kind of goes out the window, and they don't have the best conference record. So you're hoping that they can win out and have some chips fall. I mean, the Vikings play the Packers down the road, and the Seahawks and 49ers play. So these are all games that, you know, these teams are going to need. So I think if you can get the road to the Super Bowl goes through New Orleans, I think that's the right call. I think that's how it should be. And tonight was just a demonstration of why it's so important. I mean, these fans are just out of this world. They're loud. They force a lot of pre-snap penalties. You force a lot of timeouts, a lot of impact plays that just don't really go noticed. And just such a crazy, crazy time. And nobody can come in here right now and beat the Saints in New Orleans.
You can find John on Twitter at John J. Hendricks is the Saints lead reporter and writer for Saints News at Sports Illustrated or SI Now on Twitter. I really appreciate your perspective. And of course, jealous that you were there for this incredible night, John. Thank you so much. And Merry Christmas.
Hey, thanks for having me. Merry Christmas to you all too.